Blog Talk
Radio. Hello, hello, hello. Manic Money Girl Monday, where I give you marginal advice. We cover climate, the environment, and a whole lot of other things that will be directly affecting your pocketbook for the next week, the next month, and the next year. So, here we go. Last Monday was not a good Monday for Money Girl. Yes, it was manic, but not necessarily in the good kind of way, in the kind of crazy, sad way, because we say goodbye to a ruler, an icon, and a feminist role model. And I am speaking of the one and only Queen Elizabeth II of happy memory. Why was she a feminist? She had a job. She was the first royal to actually be a working royal and have a job. She was in the motorcade. Drove ambulances and just in general did more than just go on the radio and say, keep calm and carry on. That was actually Winston Churchill that said that, but I can't do a Winston Churchill. Sorry, it's a little too much estrogen for that. So what does this change in regime mean? Well, let's just put it this way. The Brits have no confidence in their economy. The pound has cratered. But we're Americans, Money Girl. What does that mean for us? It means that the stuff we import from England is going to be cheaper. You want to get your dress from Wish that was made by a British maker? going to cost to us almost a direct exchange rate, which has not happened for years. And certainly, let's see, my friend Diane got married in 2000, and the exchange rate was 1.75 pounds to the American dollar, which meant that it was that everything that cost a buck costs $1.75 plus shipping and what they have there, which is called VAT. This is pre-Brexit, where they added on a value-added tax so that a portion of everything that was made or sold in the UK, a portion of it automatically went in taxes to the Crown. And by the Crown, I mean the government, not the royal pocket. Because the British Commonwealth, the United Kingdom, is what is known as a constitutional monarchy. Well, how is that different? Well, just like us, they have a bicameral legislature, two houses, and just like us, it's the House of Commons, or in our case, the House of Representatives, that gets the work done. The only difference is Joe Biden doesn't call people in, or whoever the president is at the time, call in the leader of the House and go, "You will form a government in my name." No, that doesn't happen, because we have rules of succession. We have rules laid in place. And how does this affect the economy? Because the economy is made up of people who either fail their gut checks or not. That is what this means. So apparently a lot of people are gloomy and failing their gut checks, and the inflation that isn't supposed to exist, guess what? It's showing up in Money Girl's pocket on the 10th. Why? Because the government believes that things are going to get worse and stay worse for a while. $30 increase. Social Security is getting $144 increase per person on top of what they're already making as a cost of living increase. For a cost of living increase, which usually, by the way, does not keep up with the real cost of living, it means that the government feels that they're giving out more to people who are living on fixed incomes, Social Security, disability, supplemental nutrition assistance. There will probably be an increase in the floor for Medicare, Medicaid eligibility, because that's indexed to inflation, which is indexed to the consumer price index. The consumer price index does not have anything good to say about what's coming up. Why is the consumer price index important? It's just a number, right? Well, guess what? That number is actually made out of a whole bunch of things. The consumer price index is, if we walked into someone's kitchen, into the average American kitchen today, what were the things we will find in the refrigerator and in the cupboard? And they then take an average price for several regions and average that all together, and that's what they come up with, this consumer price index. And it's like, oh, chicken was really expensive this month. It went up $4. Well, that is going to come out as a certain percentage that will raise or lower the actual cost of all of those goods at the consumer price index. So what that means is, because it costs more to buy things and it costs more to ship things, this is why the cost of energy is important, because how do you get your stuff? Do you think the box magically flies from the Amazon warehouse? No, it doesn't. actually comes, you know, by rail, by car, by truck. And I hear even in San Francisco, maybe by drone. That is just a little creepy and invasive to me. Okay. But however it gets to you, the end consumer, it has traveled. It has traveled some distance, which does a couple things. It adds to its cost. It adds, guess what? It also adds to its carbon footprint. So you may have noticed that the pound is in economic freefall. It has lost, almost 50 cents to the dollar. It's half of, it has lost a huge percentage of its value in the last, over the weekend. And that is because investors fear uncertainty. Everyone has what we call a tolerable level of risk, okay? If you are an entrepreneur and a little crazy like me, like Money Girl, just a little manic, we are willing to run in and jump and take that risk, jump out of a perfectly good airplane, bungee off a perfectly good bridge. We like taking risks. People with their money take a risk. If you're buying a commodity and selling a commodity, is the wheat going to grow? Is it going to end up in the bun at my McDonald's? Are those hogs going to end up as my McRibs in 6 months? All of that plays in. Guess what? All of that becomes the environment. And I don't mean just, oh, like the grass and the trees. No. This is the economic environment. Well, the economic environment, unlike the green environment, does not like net zero. And I'll loop back to what net zero, by the way, is that we're only going to put out as much as we get back. If you're into solar energy, that means two watts per square meter of sunlight every day, maximum. So for every square foot, you're getting two watts of power from the sun. Well, what's a watt? A watt is how much electricity is used to do something. Well, 2 watts doesn't do a lot in by itself, but when you start scattering that over, see, my lawn, which is 2,400 square feet, that adds up. That's almost, it's not enough. No, Money Girl is not buying a Tesla. Money Girl does not have an electronic vehicle. Money Girl has her 2 feet, because remember, Money Girl is a broke student with $107,000 in debt, because Money Girl was not always as money savvy. Because Money Girl was not living a net zero financial lifestyle, which means I was spending more money than I was taking in. Well, guess what? I can't print money like the government, so ended up being a bad kid. And it took a little bit longer than hopefully a lot of you listening to learn how to be a net zero or to be sustainable and to have things work for you instead of against you financially. Okay, so fiscal net zero means not spending more than you have. So how am I going to get the most out of that money, Money Girl? Easy. I'm going to explain to you that there are several things you can do if you want to have a great life. I am a firm believer in Dollar Tree. Now, it's not looking good for Dollar Tree right now. It's not looking good for FedEx right now. And for all of us that were thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll get myself a little holiday job, make a little bit of extra spending cash when things are so crazy, you might need to manage your expectations. Why? Because people are failing their gut checks. The reality of it is when you have operations like FedEx, Dollar General, and a bunch of these other places saying, we're not going to meet our goals. This in turn sends, it's like someone dropped a pebble in the pond. Okay, when you drop a pebble in the pond, those rings go out in all directions until they hit something. The pebble in the pond is financial expectations. We are not going to make as many sales. We are not going to be able to hire as many people. We are not going to be able to pay out benefits because we don't have enough income. Remember fiscal net zero? And yes, while people do finance debt, as in they get a loan from the bank, and I'm sitting in a house right now that is owned by the bank, and we keep paying back a portion of that every month, till net zero, which means that we have Money Girl's favorite B word that I can say on the radio, even though this is supposed to be uncensored. Budget. Budget. Which means that I expect to have a certain percentage coming in every month, and I have a certain that is expected to go out every month. Well, what's Money Girl's budget? Well, let's see. At the moment, Money Girl gets about $250, which is for two people in order to eat. That's three meals a day, 21 meals a week, plus the occasional snack. Okay. Two snacks a day and a second breakfast, so it's really five meals a day. Okay, that's 35 meals a week. That's just for Money Girl. You put that with the other person living here, that's 70 meals a week. That's a lot of cans of SpaghettiOs. But, okay, so 250 divided into four, $62 a week. Well, trying to make 70 meals out of $62 a week means there's got to be something, which means finding ingredients that are affordable. It means doing my homework, looking at what sales, what's seasonal, what's available, and learning to grow some of my own things, but I live in an apartment. I don't know what I can do. I have a girlfriend. She lives in an apartment with her mother. Her mother is a neat freak. So is she. What's she going to do? Like, I can't have a speck of receipt out of place. It's just not how I want to live. You know what my recommendation is for her? You see that little ledge in your kitchen? That little 12-by-3-inch space? That's enough to hold some chives, some basil and not even a pepper plant. Chives, basil, and some rosemary. Okay? Three herbs that you at least, I know she uses a lot in cooking. Get a grow light. But isn't that bad for the environment because you're using energy? Well, depends on the grow light. And I will tell you, grow lights have gotten better and cheaper and are now putting out, it's a lot cooler. And if you use the grow light during the day, so when you come home, the kitchen is nice and warm, and you turn it off and your plants need to go to sleep too. So you're not going to be running your grow light 24 hours a day. Plants are going to go to sleep. You're going to go to sleep. Okay. And that way you are turning on your grow light and using it. If you are a place where you can purchase renewables or have solar panels or access to any of that, then you're going to be using that during the day when the sun is up, the sun is shining, and your energy costs are going to be a lot lower. So it's not going to cost you as much to have your little indoor sun on your three little herb plants. But you're also going to be saving money. Why? Because over the long run, you're not going to have to go to the store and try and find that bunch of oregano or go to the spice aisle and get the little tiny half-ounce jar for about four times what the plant's going to cost you. This is one way to economize, which is, to live within your budget, to live a net zero lifestyle, a fiscal net zero lifestyle. Okay? This fiscal net zero lifestyle for food budget. Okay? So I guess it involves being creative. Or maybe it involves being good friends with someone who has a yard and maybe they're growing tomatoes in their yard and you know basil goes really well with tomatoes. So you say, hey, I have some basil. I will trade you for your tomatoes. Guess what you've just done? You have created a financial transaction that is called a barter. Before we had money, so people didn't have to carry on packages of basil and baskets of tomatoes, right? We had the barter system. Ah, I have, you know, this half a pound of basil. I will trade you for your tomatoes. Well, guess what? Your debit card, your cash card, your credit card. No, we don't want to use credit cards that way. Credit cards are only for the worst of emergencies when you have nothing else. So you're going to use that as a medium, what we call a medium of exchange, which is that this little piece of, it's actually denim with these little plastic strips running through it and printing on it is worth $1 and what that $1 will buy. Okay, that is the agreed medium of exchange. Okay. So it has a little one printing on it, so it's a yep. So I can buy five tomatoes with that $1, and the buddy who wants the basil will say, yeah, I'll take, you know, a quarter of a pound of basil for a buck. Realistically, that's a lot of basil. But you get the idea. Instead of carrying this around and trying to find someone that you want to trade with, you go, okay, yes, I'm going to walk in. I'm going to give you this medium of exchange in order for these goods. Okay. This is the fiscal environment we live in. So these goods that we want to buy from England is going to cost a lot less of our medium of exchange. Why? Because right now it sucks to be a Brit. Their queen is dead. there's a lot of uncertainty with the new monarch. The new government just released their mini budget, which doesn't appear to do a whole lot to curb all the things that make people nervous, all of the risk that is inherent in the fiscal environment. Do I wish I had better news for you on Monday? Yes, because it's manic. It's crazy, right? We all know. Mondays are supposed to be manic. This is more of a, this is more of the opposite of manic. It's kind of sad. It's kind of depressing. But guess what? When things reach this low point, this depression, there's nowhere to go but, well, most people will say the optimist in me, the people who are hopeful, who have fiscal optimism, are going to say, well, there's nowhere else to go but up. Even Bernanke, I'm going to give the wrong person the wrong name for this, but I believe it was Ben Bernanke that talked about coyote peaks and Phoenix launch points. Well, when you are as low as you can get, and we've seen that, we saw that with COVID, we had a Phoenix launch pad moment where all of a sudden things started opening up, people started being freer, there started to be more money, goods started being exchanged, you saw toilet paper back on the shelves, they stopped hiding the toilet paper in the back with the armed security guards at Costco. You no longer had to queue up for it. That was a Phoenix launch point. It was a launch pad. And things took off after that. As a matter of fact, I think the Orange Man started calling it not just a V, but a super V. Well, I think he needed to be a better steward of the fiscal environment. What are your Manic Monday takeaways for this week? One, if you don't have a budget, you need to have a budget. The Earth has a budget. It has an energy budget. It means that we have a little bit. We have a fixed amount that comes into us. We have a fixed amount that actually goes back out into the environment, back out into space. And that's what we have to work with. Whether we use that for running our homes, our lights, our life, charging our cars, but there's only so much of it. Just like we only have so much money every month. So if you don't have a budget, sit down. Think about the things you really, your money every week, every month. Break that down and create your own budget so you can fiscally live next zero for the next week and have a great time learning how to stay and be net zero in your fiscal environment. This is time for me to say thank you to Big Stats and come and check out the link for the show because there is a reminder about Skippa's Listen Party and a link for that to help support Splendificus Foundation and the work they do. Thank you again. Have another Manic Monday. Money Girl, catch you on the flip side.